There's a new book out today that argues that the financial practices of the baby boomers have put their millennial children's economic future in serious jeopardy. It's called The Theft of a Decade and was written by Wall Street Journal writer Joseph Sternberg. He joins us now. And Joseph Sternberg, the decade you refer to in the title is the one following the global financial crisis of 2007-2008. Why do you focus on that decade in particular?
Well, I think that was a very important decade for this millennial generation because it really coincides with the period when the largest number of us were coming online economically. You know, when we were finishing up our college education, when we were just in the very early years of our careers, and we were doing that during a period when the economy was unusually bad. I mean, we were seeing a lot of economic conditions that America hadn't experienced since the Depression in the 1930s. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was certainly much more serious than a lot of the recessions that America had experienced, particularly when the boomers were coming of age. That has had a really profound implication for millennials' prospects. That if you lose that first decade when you are supposed to really be getting your economic feet, it becomes very difficult for you to try to claw your way back from it.
Mm-hmm. Especially when the job market you're looking at is very different. We talk all about the gig economy, like it's this futuristic, great new way that people can work as much or as little as they want. But really what the gig economy, as you point out in this book, is a way to spend as little as possible on labor while getting as many profits as you can if you're a company right now.
Right. I had started out thinking that this was only going to be a book about the past decade. And what I realized is that the story needed to start a little earlier than that in order to make sense of what has really happened to the millennials. Really, the way that, you know, America was doing job creation has been misfiring in some ways for decades. There were a lot of things that were going wrong in terms of the way, you know, we were incentivizing various investments, the way we were thinking about productivity, the way we were thinking about what the job market should look like in the future, and the policy choices that the boomers were making about that. And, you know, an example of that is that a lot of the natural incentives that existed in the economy in the 50s and 60s when the boomers were children for companies to really invest in productivity enhancements that would drive wage creation, a lot of that had started to dry up, and you had this drought of new investment in a lot of corners of the American economy in that decade after 2008 that I think had the effect of cutting off a lot of job opportunities for millennials who otherwise might have been able to move into some of those areas.
The crash of 2008, of course, was precipitated by the housing crash. And you bring up housing in this book as an example of how baby boomers stole the millennials' economic future.
Yeah, and the housing is such an interesting example of all of this. The dominant story for much of the boomers' early adulthood in the 70s and 80s were these big efforts in Washington to try to encourage more homeownership. And by the 90s, that was really working in terms of the percentage of people who owned the homes that they lived in. But it had come at the expense of a lot of policies from Washington that were really encouraging a lot of irresponsible home lending and irresponsible home borrowing. And, you know, as we know, that created a lot of problems in the financial system that resulted in this 2008 crash. And yet after that, the boomer solution was, again, to try to focus on propping up property prices, to try to keep as many boomers in their homes as possible without really thinking about what some of the generational consequences of that would mean. I mean, what would it mean to millennials who were entering into early adulthood, starting to reach the point in their lives where they should have been jumping onto the property ladder, and yet they couldn't because the boomers, for the purpose of trying to recover from this financial crisis, were really trying to do a lot of policies to prop up the property market, to keep prices high, to solve this problem that, you know, the previous round of housing policies had created.
And rather than selling their houses at a certain point in their lives, you point out they decided to tap into their houses and get some of that equity out to spend now.
Exactly. The whole way that America came to think about housing and housing wealth under the boomers' watch, I think, is a real problem from a generational perspective, because I think that there really is the sense that people should try to hang on in their homes as long as possible, that there shouldn't be this natural life cycle of downsizing once the kids are out of the house. And that, of course, opens up inventory that growing families can buy. Boomers also have been very successful at tamping down on new home construction in parts of the country that have been economically vibrant, where the millennials should be looking for jobs, and yet once they find that job, they can't afford to buy a house with it.
You know, you bring up something that I didn't even think about when it comes to boomers and millennials, which is inheritance and the fact that, you know, the boomers have built up a lot of wealth. And you would think that that would eventually be passed on to the millennials. But the fact that the boomers are living for so much longer than previous generations means that it may be too late by the time they pass on that wealth.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because that's an issue that I stumbled across as I was researching the book that I hadn't really thought about that much before. This is often presented as an example of how the millennials actually don't have it so bad. This argument that, yeah, sure, the boomers have accumulated all of this housing wealth, the boomers have enjoyed all of these other benefits that accrue from, career stability earlier in their working lives than millennials have enjoyed. But it will work out in the end because the boomers will end up passing that on to their children. Yet I actually think that it's kind of the opposite. That's not a good news story for millennials, because you are going to then run into this issue where the boomers will live a lot longer than previous generations. They'll do it in worse health. So you have this first order question of how much of an inheritance boom will actually be available for millennials. And then you also have this issue that, do we want to live in an economy where your economic security is based on whether or not your parents have managed to accumulate enough wealth that they can pass it on to you? America used to think of itself as a society where actually, I mean, inheritance did play a role in some families, but there was also the sense that there would be opportunities for people for whom inheritance was not an option.
Anybody can make it in America.
Exactly. And I think that we should be really curious about why it is, and we should be worried about why it is that suddenly, that might not be the case for the younger generation, that there are a lot of reasons to worry that millennials are being cut off from some of the opportunities, especially in terms of the job market and the ability to develop stable careers over time that used to be the pathway to economic stability for earlier generations.
What about people who would look at this and say, they're not a selfish generation. In fact, they've given a lot to the future. You know, boomers would think of themselves as those who gave us all of the liberal policies of the 1960s, et cetera. What do you say to people who say, look, the boomers aren't so bad?
Well, I'm not saying that they are evil people. I think that the theft of a decade that I'm talking about in my book is less to do with malevolence and just more to do with a failure to really understand what was going on around them and to respond appropriately to that. A tendency to stick to a bunch of assumptions that might have worked for the boomers when they were younger and that did help to deliver a period of remarkable prosperity for America. If you look at the technological advances that we benefit right down to the smartphones that we're all walking around with, if you look at the diversity of job openings for certain millennials that are out there, if you look at that kind of millennial, you can think you guys don't really have anything to complain about. Actually, we do, because it is true that the boomers created a very secure and comfortable today for their millennial children. But where I think they really ran into trouble was thinking about long-term security for millennials. And that's the discussion that we need to have now.
What made you start to think about the generations when you were looking at some of the problems in society today and you said, I'm going to write a book about what the boomers did here?
Well, it had an interesting backstory because, one of my nerdier interests as a journalist has always been issues like monetary policy, fiscal policy. And I was thinking about that one day and I realized, there are actually a lot of generational implications to so many of these policy decisions that we just don't think about because we aren't used to thinking about a lot of these policy issues in generational terms. And coupled with that thought, I began to be really interested in whether there might be something to some of these millennial complaints. I was curious to know more about were the boomers or were the millennials right about this basic question of how hard done by millennials have been in this economy? And I was surprised to end up in a place where I thought that actually both sides are right. It can be true that millennials have never had it so good, and it can also be true at the same time that millennials still face a lot of problems that more recent generations didn't.
You're joining us today from London. Do you think there's a difference in the millennial versus boomer divide in the UK, or at least outside of the United States, as inside the United States?
Well, one of the things that I find interesting, but also very troubling if you stop to think about it, is that these problems surface all over the world. And you can look at, you know, generational issues in developing economies like China, India. A lot of generational issues are really going to come to the fore in places like Africa over the next 20 to 30 years, because you do have very large young generations of millennials there who are going to need to find their way in a rapidly changing developing economy. But in more mature countries like the U.S., like the U.K., where I live right now, across Europe and Japan, what you discover is a lot of societies that have these economic problems for young adults that haven't been able to come up with a good solution. That suggests that really there is something that we need to be thinking about in general, that it isn't a matter that some countries are getting it right or some countries are getting it wrong. I think that the whole system seems to be set up in ways that these problems are emerging, and we need to be really curious about why that is.
That is Joseph Sternberg, whose new book is called The Theft of a Decade: How the Baby Boomers Stole the Millennials' Economic Future. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we've got an excerpt from the book at hearandnow.org. You can also leave your thoughts there, hearandnow.org.